check this out. This is Fresh Fit Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check this out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we fight our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. We keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, to come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's serious for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Prez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 695. We're getting real close to that 700th episode. I want to thank all of our listeners, you know what I'm saying, over the years who've been supporting the show. Tonight, it's an honor to have the guest on we have tonight because, you know what I'm saying, he's an affiliate of D-Tags. And if those of you who've been paying attention to the show or me, you know who D-Tag is, phenomenal producer from the Netherlands. But this is a phenomenal artist and guest we have tonight. This guy, you know what I'm saying, is able to take beats from all kinds of different producers and just knock out albums, you know what I'm saying, like it's nothing. We're going to get to the, you know what I'm saying, to the bottom of it and chop it up with DSB and see exactly who he is, where he's from, what he's about, and, you know what I'm saying, play some good music along the way. So let's welcome our guest tonight, DSB. DSB, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you, Scott.
Well, I definitely appreciate you as well. You know what I'm saying? Where are you from?
Me, I'm from Denver, Colorado, USA.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay, some good drill out there, yeah. That's what's up. Denver, Colorado's hip-hop scene, you know, I've experienced a little bit of it over the years, you know, writing for magazines. What's it like today, you know what I'm saying, compared to, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago? Is it still thriving, or is it a bunch of bullshit? Huh. What's going on?
From an honest point of view perspective, I've been doing it for almost 30 years. 15 years ago, it was close to analog days, you know, where people were working with analog. Nobody was really doing digital. So yeah. In the analog days, there was a platform where people could act their part. They could play their label. They could be a team, you know, and play the whole label game. And it was really thriving back then. Now it's completely different. It seems like the major labels seem to be a little bit stronger. So the little guys push down a little farther down. You know what I mean? But everybody can make music, so that's our sacrifice. At least all of us are able to make music a little more easier than we used to. So right now, it's not pushing too hard out here, man. I mean, from what I'm seeing, there's not very many artists hitting. But things are kind of changing, though, at the same time. So, you know, it's kind of strange.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, you said you go back a little bit. When did you get your start? And, you know what I'm saying, how did you get your start?
It was 1998. I was in high school. I was dealing with a lot of home abuse. I was watching a lot of abuse of the child from like 8 years all the way up through my teenage years. was in high school, I started studying books, you know, started studying words, dictionary, poems and shit like that. But back in 1993, I think it was, yeah, I got a DR5, a little drum machine. And I started, you know, producing my own beats because I didn't want to have to pay somebody else to have to do that. So back then you make your own beat. You could take your beat machine to the studio and then pay them a certain amount of money. You know what I mean? So back then, 1998, I produced my own beats off this little DR5 and then just went and did studio time, you know, just learned it from that point. Released that first album, released another album after that 5 years later, and then released 3 albums under the surname of Mr. Locust because it was kind of like I was having that fight between good and evil. You know what I mean? I didn't know if I could deal with my PTSDs yet. And that's basically what music is to me. You know, it's just a release. We may never heal, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like a just an expression. If you could express to other people and give them what you didn't have when you were seeing the shit when you were younger, then you're doing the right thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, still doing it. Still doing it. It's a disease.
Being a warrior and a survivor of that, too, because many people don't make it out of those situations, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I think music probably, I mean, it would be fair to say it was like therapy for you, wasn't that?
Absolutely, it was. It was either that or drugs or alcohol. It was always my cop-out, you know, because that's what I learned.
Yeah.
But doing music, I can't do both. And basically right now, that's pretty much what it comes down to. If I'm not doing music, I'm fucking up doing drugs or alcohol in order not to pay attention to the traumas. You know what I mean? But music is the only thing you can actually be able to express your trauma and talk about it. The motherfuckers can't judge you over it. You know what I mean? So if they can't judge you over it and you can express yourself, you can actually be able to reach out to people that are like you and cut out all those other motherfuckers that aren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, you getting into the game, you know what I'm saying, the 90s, that's the golden era. That's right around when I started writing for Murder Dog. Shame we didn't cross paths back then. What were you doing at that point to get yourself heard? I mean, were you doing a lot of shows, touring, or collaborations?
I had a hard time with doing shows. I did a few of them. I have some crazy stories about those. Everyone was fucked up in one way or another. But I guess basically, like you said, something Nip earlier about the sound was kind of like Gangsta Nip is basically what I thrived on that. You know what I mean? I held on to that, and that's what got me into music. So being able to hear that from somebody else's point of view, and this is the key to this album that I just released, is that getting in touch with D-Tag, having that sound being a part of my spirit when I was young, watching that abuse, you know? And that's what got me out of it. So here I am now creating an album. That's a whole nother level, you know, of darkness. So just to be able to express yourself that way and put it behind you, it's a good thing, man.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the fans of people like Nip and Horrorcore, I mean, they're going to love it. Now, the album's called Hog Music. Very, very interesting cover. I'm going to try to describe it to our listeners. I'm looking at a man slash, looks like a warthog-type beast with a butcher knife, an illustration. Very unusual and dope illustration. Now, is that something that you make a point to do with your projects as far as the artwork goes?
You know, way back when I used to do the album covers, I always have to depend on somebody else to do them. But, you know, now that I've developed up to a point where I'm at now where I can do everything myself, I find more pleasure in being able to reach out and find 3 separate parts because I could produce my own beats. But I figured every Monday night is when I go live and I go 1 song per week on a project to work with a certain producer because I want to represent 3 art forms, like a trifecta. So basically you got, you know, the producer, he creates what he feels and you have no involvement with that. You know, just let him do anything like D-Tag, just create what you like. And then he throws it at me and then I put in what I like. And so what I did is I contacted a graphic artist, or he's like kind of a comic book type of style guy. And I said, just listen to the song, you know, come up with something to it. And he actually came up with 1 graphic per song. And that one just so happened to fit the Hog Music title track. And I don't know, it's like now I can sell it as a booklet too. So now I can sell graphics with the album. So you can listen to the music and actually see from 3 different perspectives, this 3 art forms pulled together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
my plan.
Not a lot of people put that that kind of thought in their projects. They just go to the template place and grab some cheesy graphic that was on 20,000 other mixtapes, you know what I mean? Slap their name on it and they're done. So props to you for having that type of concept.
I appreciate it.
Every song has that, and that's dope. Now, this project here, I know it's available online. You know, you have a website, you know what I'm saying? If you want, you can give it to everybody. I know it's, mentalstatemusic.net, right?
Correct, yeah, mentalstatemusic.net. I'm also available on any other platform streaming services. You can search me, DSB. You'll find me. I'm definitely pushing out major music, so I'll be there.
Now, as far as, you know, you being from the 90s, man, I imagine you're into physical copies. You got those available as well or coming soon?
Interesting enough, I've purchased so many physical copies up to the point to where it's just doesn't work for me. So I don't necessarily print them out, In the future, I might if it works with royalties and publishing. But at this point right now, I'm actually pushing Dropbox files. So on the website, you could go on there and you could purchase the Dropbox file, and it's shareable. So when somebody purchases it, they can share it with their friends too. But when you go in the Dropbox file, you've got all the songs in MP3 form and in WAV form, and then you've got all the graphics in there. And if I so happen to do a music video, bam, I'm going to put that inside the same Dropbox link. I feel like that's where we're going now. You know, physical copies aren't selling. But, man, if people could tap into what you can actually give them value-wise when it comes to Dropbox files, I think there's something to tap into there.
Yeah, you get a lot more for your money that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of the physical stuff, but I feel you on this because it's something different, you know, and you're able to incorporate, like you said, art, video, all kinds of different things. Where did you come up with that idea?
It kind of just fell into place. The more you do and the better you get in places and if you hone in on certain things, it just kind of become available to you. I was already using Dropbox, you know, to hold on to my music because I couldn't keep my computer full. It would eventually crash. So in order to keep it clean, I had to have a place or a space where I could put things. So since I'm already doing these weekly, you know, and putting them in there, it just happened. It just makes sense because, I mean, if somebody purchases it from you, they should have the opportunity to be able to share it with their cousin. You know, take this dude out, and that only works better for the both. So I just think that's probably where the future is going to be somehow.
It's promotion. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
Giving.
You know, why not? You know, at this stage in the game, why not try different innovative things that could turn into something? And I think it's a smart idea. Let's go into one of these tracks right here. The first one I got queued up is Get Me High. And man, if you can, kind of break down this track. Tell everybody what we're going to hear.
So this is kind of, I was hooked on meth at one point in my life, and that's what pushed this album was to be able to focus on the darkness and talk about these PTSD things instead of hiding from them. So this song is basically like me expressing to other people my madness, getting high. So when I say get me high, it means add to my stress and piss me off enough to where I'll show you my darkness. So that's basically the, you'll hear it. You'll hear it.
Definitely, definitely. We'll be right back, you know what I'm saying, with DSB right here on the Murder Master Music Show. Don't go nowhere.
I think that they forget. I don't care about them. I think maybe they don't realize how selfish and anti-human I am. Joined up with D-Tag. Just to give you a reflection. Fuck. I am. Fuck you.
Some people
fuck
better watch what they say.
Where to go? Who am I? Let them know. Come to my show. Watch me die, watch me drown, watch me cry, get me by, get me high, get me high. Where to go, who am I, let them know, come to my show, suicide, watch me die, watch me drown, watch me fry, get me by, get me high. Your mouth is open, but your body's sitting still, will infestation, conglomeration, get you killed, still, get your pennies back. Don't let that pussy drive your system. Contradiction, get the fanny back. Know where it's at, lean them back, yak. The location is CO, rolling federal. We go with the steel on the lap, eye contact. That's where it's at, Jack Nicholson, take the rhythm in. I'll make you beat it, undefeated. Take your adrenaline, I'm off it, repeat it. 5280, I'm crazy, you think I care? Got the curly hair, Danny Panny will take you there. This
a bandit, peel the bandage. I'm such a fucking savage, I won't lie. I'd rather see your face when she finds out I'm that type of guy. Get high, it's the only way you can fuck with me. Luckily, I'm such a fuckery, puckery, duckery. I'm hounding cuz this sounds disgusting. That's why I like it, don't trust me, I will ignite it.
Some people better watch what they say.
Where to go? Who am I? Let them know. Come to my show. Watch me drown, watch me cry, get me by, get me high, where to go, who am I, let them know, come to my show, suicide, suicide, watch me die, watch me drown, watch me cry, get me by, get me high, get me high. I am amazing, I am wonderful, I am valuable, I am a masterpiece, I am a child of the Most High God. You talk like that and amazing. With a quiet confidence.
Yeah, we're back here on the Murder Master Music Show, episode 695. We got DSB out of Denver, Colorado. The name of the album is Hog Music. You know what I'm saying? MentalStateMusic.net. You got to pick this up. You just heard it right there. That's what I'm talking about, man. You and D-Tag seem to have a good bond, a good, you know what I'm saying, rapport. How did you guys hook up together?
You know, it's one of those ones you just don't remember how or why or where it comes from, and you don't question it. You know, I don't know. I just know I remember his sound in Gangsta Nips and other artists that I used to listen to back then, and then I just ran into him on the internet somehow. We did one song together, and it kind of just tied that bond. And I knew I had to get in touch with him at some point to do a full album together, and it just kind of fell into place at the right place, right time. So it was great, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when you were introing that song, you were talking about that you used to, you know what I'm saying, do meth. That's something that many people don't come from. I've seen people straight turn into zombies and literally wither away and die. How did you overcome that?
It's funny, you know, people say meth. People talk about drugs. People say coke. People say, you know, crack. But nobody talks about mental health. Nobody talks about, you know, trauma. Nobody talks about PTSD. One of my biggest issues that I've never paid attention to is PTSD and all the traumas. My brain's built a way where it couldn't handle it, so it allows me more lengthy time to be able to accept those things. So if I ignore the fact that I saw this shit, then I'm going to crash at some point. And I didn't pay attention to it, so I got in a really good relationship. And there I was, crashing mentally, needing the drug, needing alcohol, and not facing the PTSD itself. And that's where the album comes into play. To be able to say these things without worry of religion or without worry of judgment, you know, or without worry of somebody trying to hurt you or take over your space, that's the problem. When people get in your space, your mental space, the problem is the way the world is pushing into us. It has nothing to do with the drug. That just so happened to be the way I escaped. I could have done music. I could have done drug. Didn't matter. The problem was the trauma, the PTSD. If I would have put myself inside of the psychiatric system, they'd have just used me and butt-fuck me. But instead, I decided to start doing music. But when you forget to do that, some shit starts to unbury itself inside your head. So it's really important for us to find that, you know? And that's what got me off. I said, I need to quit this drug. I quit the drug, and I lost the girlfriend at the same time. And I started doing one song a week live. So I'm holding myself to that responsibility. People are going to see me live once a week. I can't make music when I'm high. Now I'm forcing myself to do it. Now I'm 84 weeks. I've been it till now. They'll know when I do drugs again. So I hold myself to that responsibility, first of all, but second of all, to know that it's not the drug that killed me. It was that PTSD I didn't get out. You know, now I don't have very many friends in my life, and I'm realizing, oh, those were all the wrong motherfuckers to have there anyways. That's what my problem
Absolutely.
Was. You know, you know what I mean? So I got that
and
away from me.
84 weeks? Congratulations.
Yeah, 84 weeks. Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks.
Keep that
but it's 84
going,
weeks
man.
Into my new expression. It's a new expression, though. It's not even the drugs. It's just, it's a new me. The whole time I was trying to be me, but I was letting everybody else hold me back. So now that I'm me, I don't even want shit no more. I just want me and more music, you know?
That's beautiful, man. That really is.
Thanks,
that's
man.
Like, I don't know if you follow boxing or not, but there's a boxer named Tyson Fury, heavyweight champ of the world. And he wanted to be the champion his whole life. He finally became the champion. And he crashed and burned, started doing massive amounts of cocaine. And really, it was just to mask the mental problems that he was going through. And he ballooned to like 400-something pounds. And then finally one day he quit the drugs and he started exercising. He lost like 150 pounds. And then he went and became world heavyweight champion again. You know, so
right.
It's like people can overcome, you know what I'm saying, various situations like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's because of people like you that show us that we can do it. So hats off to you, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks, man. At the same time, people should realize that they've got themselves. Sometimes you need to hit that rock bottom, and that's why you got to hit that rock bottom. Realize you can't make the world alone. You can leave this motherfucker alone. So it's important to put yourself first before everybody else. That way you could actually put people in the right places of your life, you know?
Yeah, and the right people. You can decipher
right
who
people.
Is good for you and who you can help along the way.
Yeah,
you know?
Even
so, yeah, that's,
one bad apple, you're ruined.
One bad apple, fuck it all up. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
fuck yeah, man.
That's like me on Facebook, man. My block list is bigger than my friends list, man, because
it changes every
the
day,
moment.
Man. Mine does too. Strong.
Oh, God. I had a guy today. I didn't even know I was his friend. I was scrolling down, I saw a post, and I commented on his post. Big mistake. As soon as I commented on his post, he just completely latched on to me, and just, you know, at that point in time, like, all right, you're going with the rest of them in the block list.
Parasite,
you know,
parasite. That's all they want, man. They just want to get that bad energy into you. Yeah, too old for that shit.
Yeah, parasite, exactly.
You know?
And at this age, you know, I'm 42. I'm trying not to have an aneurysm or a stroke or a heart attack. You know, I'm trying to stay alive. Now, I'm not going to let somebody else fuck me off, you know.
Yeah, I'm 42 as well, man. The older you get and the closer you get to that death point, the more you realize it's fucking important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, when you got things in your life that you need to be around for and people and whatnot. But it's dope that your music is able to help you along the way, and I imagine help others. What about this concept? I really like this, how you hook up with a producer, and you, you know what I'm saying, you'll get the beats that you want for a project, and you'll go live and write to the beats right there, like you said, one song a week. How did you come up with that concept? It's so original.
It's funny because it is actually the meth that did it, because in order to get off the meth, I had to start doing live feeds. So every Wednesday, I actually invested in all the equipment I possibly needed so I can produce, I can mix, I can master, I can do graphics, I got DistroKid, I could distribute, I got everything, you know, I've done it enough. So how can I express this so much? Express the question to me real quick, one more time. Give me a refresher.
Well, the question was
question?
Basically, you know, how did you come up with that idea? Because it's original.
Okay, so here's what happened. Every Wednesday, I would go live. I'd record myself, at least the beginning part. I'd create a beat live, the live feed. Then I would actually make a graphic for it. I'd distribute it through DistroKid, and I'd make a music video to it all within a 6 to 10 hour time frame. That's every Wednesday. So that's what got me off the drugs. I'm doing that currently. But then I look into Spotify, and I see all these singles. I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to fix that. That's the imbalance. So then I said, I need to start doing projects. I need projects, but I need other people's beats. I could change my style. So I did about four every Monday for other projects before I got in touch with DTag. And now I'm going on to the next one. So it's just keeping me responsible. It's making me get it done. You know, I can't even do collaborations anymore because I can't wait longer than 2 days without saying I can't fuck with you no more. You know, because if people really feel it and they're about it, they're going to do it, you know? So I've become, and I think it was because of the drug. I was awake all those hours. My mind was able to move so much. Now, in order to keep myself moving, I have to do all this shit. So I do a live feed on Monday where I do projects with other producers, all in order till the 12-track album's done, and then I'll release that. But at the same time, I'm also doing the song on Wednesday. It's not where it's at this year, but I think I'm up to like 67 songs this year. So I'm hoping to push over 100 and just – fuck it. They're going to hear me one way or another. You know, and the people that don't like me can go where they want to be behind me. You know, nobody's ever really been in front of me. And anytime I put anybody else in front of me, I fell hard, and they didn't look back at me. I was alone. You know what I mean? So, no more.
Yeah.
Done with it.
Done. Hey, shout out and salute to you, man, because you're 100% right. These people, we tend to help people sometimes, and when you need it, they're nowhere around. You know what I'm saying? Those,
right.
Those people are definitely worthless. But, man, you're trying to go for the Guinness Book of World Records with this. Have you looked into that, and what's needed to attain that record?
I haven't yet right now. I'm just pushing the weight. Because even though I'm doing two songs a week, I'm doing like four other instrumental albums that I'm releasing for people to be able to use in the background of their YouTube videos, because the public streaming rights end up going back to me. I'm finding all these loopholes. I don't know. If you find something that's working for you as a person, as an individual, stick with it. And anytime any one person tries to poke in at that area, kick them out and keep moving.
Yeah.
I don't know
absolutely.
If I answered your question on that.
No, you did, man. Yeah, I mean, for you to be able to juggle all that every week, that's awesome. But you knocked out a whole album doing this with D-Tag. Have you done any other whole projects already with other producers? If so, are they available right now?
Yeah, they're all available at mentalstatemusic.net. And at the same terms, you could get them on any platform, any kind of streaming or purchasing platform. I did three other 12-track albums before D-Tag. And this is all in order from when I quit the drug, you know what I mean? So it's not going to stop now. But I look back and I was like, there's all these dark areas of my life where I was drunk or high that I was missing time in life because of the PTSDs and such. But once you find that algorithm that works for you as a human, you know, and it pisses everybody else off, grab onto that shit, because if it pisses anybody off, they don't belong in your life. And I think once you get to that point, there's just no going back. You just go. You make your body do what you want your fucking body to do, and it does it. That's it, you know?
Yeah. It will respond to your actions. You know what I'm saying? Whether good
absolutely.
Or bad. And you know, that's
so
what
people.
I'm talking about. You know, oh
yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. But
you gotta not care, you know, you gotta not care about what these people think about you and shit. Like, you can't be focused on the mainstream or on any of that other shit, because that shit's eventually gonna crash. You know, too much of any one thing is good for nobody, man. You gotta stick into your own terms and your own lane. If you start picking and poking and prodding at other people's ideas and shit, not having your own, you're never gonna develop.
Absolutely, man. I agree 100%. I see it all the time. Like, people will send me music and they'll try to emulate what they hear in the mainstream, and it's like, there's a billion people doing that. You're not going to get nowhere. It's like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get that Dr. Dre to listen to your fucking tape. That's not going to happen, realistically.
Well,
realistically, stay in your lane.
Let's say if there was an Illuminati. Let's just say, for instance, if there was an Illuminati and you had to sign to that in order to be on that Limelight television, you're going to sign to that? Because when you look in these people's faces, you see very much unhappy and pain and distress. And, man, if you could just find that little area, there's all these areas that doesn't have to do with money, doesn't have to do with power. Because the biggest disease we can have is more, and that's it. If we could just have less and be appreciative of that, there's nothing else to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, let's give them another sample of, you know, I'm saying, the Hog Music Project. We got another track here. It's called Gush, man. Why don't you kind of break this one down for us?
This one is kind of parallel to relationships, sexual. I'd say it from a swinger's point of view. This is like my swinger song. I think the best relationship I ever had in my life was an honest one, because honesty is loyalty, and nobody ever admits their darkness to each other. But when you find that girl you could actually swing with, and you could get that energy, it's basically a song about swingers energy. So
swingers, okay. All right, definitely.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Gush by DSB off the album Hog Music, mentalstatemusic.net. Make sure you get this. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Rush, rush, crash, to the beat.
That's DSB with Gush off the album Hog Music, available at MemphisStateMusic.net. You know what I'm saying? Produced by D-Tag. And that song right there was about swingers, man. You got to, you know what's funny? About, I want to say 15 years ago, I interviewed a couple who were swingers for a magazine called Street Masters out of Memphis. And we had, it was a rap mag, but we had this section where I could, it was called Street Stories, where I could bring in whatever the hell I wanted. And I found this swinger couple online, and they were kind of breaking down the whole thing for me. But I want to have you break it down for our audience. How long have you been in that lifestyle? And when you're in that lifestyle, are you afraid of catching anything? If so, how do you go about not catching something?
I'm going to reiterate, first of all, and say that that last song actually was not about swingers. It's the wrong song. That one was more about a violent indication. Swingers, though, I'll talk about it. I don't know, man. I think the worst part of any relationship has always been people not being able to express certain things about each other to each other within a certain amount of time. There you go. You end up separating, fucking with other people, shit. But dishonesty is what kills people. It's not about cheating. Cheating doesn't hurt. It's dishonesty that kills a motherfucker. So,
yeah.
Instead of doing that, be honest with each other and shit. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like, when it comes to diseases and shit like that, I think a lot of times it's give or take. Sometimes it happens. I've had my share. I'm not saying that we would specifically go out and, you know, get people tested or even use protection. Because, you know, face it, it's the forbidden that is the fruit. And there we are. We're doing it because of that, you know, because of that fact, you know, Russian roulette. Who doesn't like that shit? It gives you a buzz. So, you know, I'm not saying it was healthy in a moment.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a healthy part of my life. Because I think I lost parts of myself giving to anybody outside of the relationship and giving to the person that really wasn't fulfilling me in the first place to have to go out and do these things with each other. You know what I mean? Because we weren't one with each other. So the swingers thing was fun. I'd do it again. But I wouldn't do it again with somebody I loved. You know? That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just catch a disease. If I caught a disease, man, I don't believe in condom. But I'm not saying that's the right thing either. I'm not suggesting. I'm not telling kids.
Raw dog entertainment,
right? Yeah, fuck it. Gets the job done.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of, I mean, that's a huge, you know, I mean, there's a huge world for that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are involved in swinging. So, but yeah, man, the album so far, what I've heard, man, is real dope. It's hard, horrorcore. But I know you do all kinds of you know what I'm saying, music and stuff. What's your favorite to do? Do you like doing the hard stuff, or do you like doing more of the mellow stuff, or what's
it'll always be horrorcore. I think the reason why it'll always be horrorcore is because that's what I grew up on. That's where my demonic is. The demonic of me, which is always in me, is always connected to that. So when I make horrorcore music, I get parts out that I wouldn't regularly be able to get out. But like a song that I recently started, this new album is really, really spiritual and the light side of things. So I had to completely switch it. But I like it more. I like the after effect more because when I hear it, I'm like, that's not me. It is, but I'm more of my demonic side, and that's something that will always be. And understanding that, I love it when I make beautiful music and love songs and club songs and shit because I know it moves those people, and those people deserve it too. But for me, if you gutter it, it needs it. So when I make horrorcore music and I'm putting it out there, I feel like I'm a child again, you know, listening to my mother get beat. And somebody puts a CD in my hand, like Gangsta Nip. You know, I listen to Esham, I listen to Gangsta Nip. And here's the thing, I did a song with Esham a couple years back, and then now I'm doing songs with D-Tag, so it kind of just shows me that in order to go through that horror and that terror as a child is what put me amongst the greatest. And not even the greatest as if we're on platforms, but the greatest as if, like, I'm actually doing music that's just as good as these motherfuckers that I grew up on, and there's a high chance that I'm going to cheer some bitch that's dealing with his mother getting beat, too. You know, so if I could do that,
yeah, somebody out there is going to get reached, definitely.
Yeah,
you know?
And if they hate me, I love them for it. Fucking hate me. I need it.
yeah, definitely. The homie Sin from France is on the line. I'm going to bring him on. I know he's got a question or two for you. Sin, you there, brother?
Okay.
Hello, Sin. Can you hear us? Might be having technical difficulties. I'll try to bring him on again in a minute. Tin, you there? No. We can't get him on the line. But it's like 5 a.m. where he's at. But he calls into the show, always has good questions.
Nice.
But, you know, this new album, you said you're talking about doing videos as well. Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to do video for first?
That's a tough one. There's three that stand out. Strong Gush is probably one of my favorites. Parasite, I put it out there and I'm watching some of my analytics. And I'm watching the songs that move because my personal favorites are never theirs, you know. And then usually the songs you hate the most of yours are the ones that are actually getting the most response. So I'm seeing that Parasite is getting the most attention. So it's probably going to be the one that I'm going to end up having to do. But it's cool, though, because it's going to give me an opportunity to put the link inside the description video, you know, put the video inside the chat box, give some more value and shit, put a pretty little fucking bow on it, let people open it up. Done.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah, but again,
go to multiple places. It's all one folder.
Yeah. Well, what bothers me is that I don't like going out and I don't like doing all the work because I'm already doing so much work this way, and they're getting videos from me regardless. But if I'm going to go out there and do a music video, I'm gonna end up spending that big money. It's going to be an investment, you know, into a really, really nice video. I've done plenty in the past, just no response. But to me, even now, when I think about it, that response isn't really even enough for me to get any kind of value from it. So what I need to do is just keep them with them live streams. Keep hitting them with them live streams. They can see my personality. It doesn't matter if it's horrorcore or if it's love songs. They love you as a person, and they can get the same kind of feeling out of you. So eventually I'll get my reach. See, the thing is people don't pay attention to the fact that discovery is inevitable, the continuum. You keep doing that shit, and don't look back. Don't let it get in your way. You're going to catch that shit.
Yeah. You know? Consistency, absolutely. You know, people always tell me all the time, oh, your show could be much bigger and this, and that. And, you know, and those are the same people that are not consistent at all. And they're a lot smaller than what I am. And they shouldn't be telling me that in the first place. You know, it's like, dude, my record speaks for itself. It's going to pop when it pops, but I'm not going to stop until it does. You know?
Exactly.
When it keep going. And plus, the majority of the people that I cover, I'm in the trenches with them. Those are the people. Every one of you guys should be bigger than what you are, you know.
Right.
It's just the problem is the industry is so oversaturated with bullshit. They got to sift through to find the D tags, the DSBs, or the eShines even. You know, even someone like him who's a pioneer, or Nip, or Carino, all these guys. You know,
they still doing it. Still doing it. Love them. Fucking love.
Yeah.
That's my family. You know, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
I know that's my family, you know?
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I want from it.
So,
that's all I want from it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So this project right now is available. And we got Sin, you know, Hog Music, you know, mentalstatemusic.net. Make sure you go there and get it. We got Sin back in the line. We're going to try him. Sin, are you there, brother?
Yes, so sorry.
We got him. Yes. You're on the line with DSP out of Denver, Colorado, man.
Yeah. Hi,
what's up, Sin?
Hi, Scott. Can you tell us about the music, how you do it with D-Tag and I think it was the song, of course, Girl and Devil or Innate also. Perfect combination for me, you and him, about the production. And can you tell us about the production with him and Devil Innate?
Right. Yeah, well, sometimes you got to leave it up to other forces. I think if you try too hard to pay attention to get the right people or to find the right chemistry, you're not going to actually find the right chemistry because you put too much thought into it. Sometimes you got to be able to let it happen naturally. Well, that's kind of what happened with D-Tag. You know, it's an energy thing. I think even when you write messages on Facebook and Messenger and shit, I feel like people exchange energy and you could feel that. So when you feel weird about somebody, it means something. Usually stay away from them. But D-Tag just kind of, sometimes energies just come together because they're supposed to. And there really is no answers, you know? And that's why when I hear the songs, I'm like, wow, this is meant to be, you know? And sometimes you just got to care and not worry and not think and then know that it's going to happen, and it just fucking does, you know?
And also, for the hardcore inspiration, I think, of course, about 3-6, about Isham, but I think also about X-Fader or Brother Lynch or MCI or, you know, to Sacton or House of Crazies or Butter Creek Music. Who got your other inspiration outside of Kingston Deep or Isham? So.
Good question. Very good question. I would have to say Pink Floyd, soft rock 80s music, because right before I started going through like abusive situations as a young child, I was listening to those, like when 80s, when the sequencer came in, Pink Floyd, you know,
oh, yeah.
Man, you know, just the rock music, and then 80s, you know, it just, I don't know. It was mostly those rock ones because my mom used to listen to it, you know, before all the bad stuff happened. So it was kind of like when I hear Pink Floyd now, it gives me a sense of comfort. I feel comfortable. So, the influence, I mean, there'll always be those guys, Brother Lynch, you know, Gangsta Nip. Those guys were the strongest, of course. But before them, you know, it would have to be LL Cool J, you know, with I'm Bad and I Love. You know, when you first hear those things and they make change in the world around you and you see people affected by them, you just know that that's doing, you know. So, yeah, those people pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, right.
LL Cool J, that's definitely definitely one of the, you know what I'm saying, pioneers. He got in it when he was like 14, if I'm not mistaken. Just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to do all that stuff.
Ghetto Boys did Howard Cole back in the day. Ghetto Boys did Howard Cole back in 88, 87.
Yeah. Assassins, yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's where I come from, yeah.
Oh, man. Chapter Guts Like
Spaghetti. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your question and asking, man. I appreciate that. I think it's really important for us to pay attention to what makes us feel that way, you know, because then we can concentrate on ourselves. We forget to do that shit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, what about, you know, you're doing the live stuff and everything. What about doing shows again? Are you getting to the point? Well, of course, you can't now with all this COVID stuff, but. You know, after all this is done, do you think you're going to want to maybe hit the road?
No, you know, I've tried doing the shows. I've seen spikes, you know, but I've seen spikes fall just as fast as they come up. And to do shows and to have that, put myself on platform, and it just doesn't really touch base with where I'm trying to go with things. So I prefer to stay behind the scenes, and I want people to pay attention to my personality with the live feeds and be able to see truthfulness. Because the minute I step into that bar, I'm going to remember every drink I had. I'm going to remember every line of coke I've ever did. I'm going to remember every bitch I fucked. You know what I mean? And the next thing you know, I'm going to want to do that shit again. Or I'm putting on some kind of act for this dude or this dude that I'm looking at across from the table. He's putting on an act. The shows don't work for me because I don't play parts. I don't play brackets. I don't play, you know, platforms. You know, I went and saw Brother Lynch and Isham, and I actually kicked it with Isham. You know, and I was like, this guy's cool. Brother Lynch stood away from everybody. So there he is on the platform, above everybody. Can't talk to this guy. He's special. I don't believe in that shit. You know, I never have. I've actually been in a boxing ring where I was doing a show in the middle, and I got in a fight in the boxing ring because somebody left on a fight. So they put me in the ring because everybody booed me when the microphone was fucking up. But everybody cheered me when I hit the ground, when I got knocked out. You know, so it just showed me that all these motherfuckers don't really fucking matter because they'll go away. But the people that will matter are the people that actually see that shit and stay by you, regardless of your show, you know, your fight. These people either end up liking you or they don't. And, man, me going on stage really isn't going to end. It's not going to fix that in the end, you know. That's just my view.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to make sure everybody goes and gets this project. You know what I'm saying? It's Hog Music by DSB, produced by the one and only D-Tag, mentalstatemusic.net. We got one more song we're going to play before we get out of here, but also I want to give you the floor so you can let everybody know about any upcoming projects or, you know what I'm saying, anything else you got going on, man. DSB, it's been a pleasure, brother, and I hope we can do it again. The floor is all yours, fam.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Man, I just kind of just want to point out that I'm only here moving as one entity, you know what I mean? We're all looking outwards. We're all separate entities. So nobody's any more special than the other motherfucker. But, you know, if we do the right thing for ourselves first, and that's what I've been doing by making this music, I'm stopping the drugs. I'm stopping the PTSD, the worry and the fear and getting all that shit out by creating something you can actually give to somebody else, you know? it's just unfathomable. There's nothing else better than that. So what's coming in the future, basically, is I'm going to keep doing these live feeds, man. I'm going to keep hitting them Monday and Wednesday. Hopefully I get this record at the end of the year. If I don't, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep doing it. I can't stop now. I'm past that point, you know, and I'm forcing myself to go further. And I just want to show other people that they could do that shit, too. If they see me crazy time is your essence. You know, you are your own God. If you could become that and be that and control your time, you're straight, man. Then I'm going to lay here, you know, and I'm going to take drinks with you. So, yeah, go check it out, mentalstatemusic.net. I'll always be there. You need anything, you can write me. I'm very communicable, so I'm here for you just the same. Sending my love out to all of you. Thank you for having me here, man. And thank you, Sin, for the questions, man. I appreciate you both.
No doubt, brother. Huge, man. Huge honor. The name of this track here is, you know what I'm saying, it's called The Devil's Inn. Man, why don't you kind of intro this as we outro?
Okay, so I guess what I really wanted to do is create this album as the darkness of me and just speak about the darkest, darkest colors. I started studying Satanism and the Church of Satan, and basically it as a philosophy, being that there is no such thing as a God or a Satan, that basically you are God and you are Satan based on the decisions that you make for yourself. So when it comes to the Devil's Inn, when people are looking at me, I got a lot of people that hate me. I got a few people that love me. I don't pay attention to them. But the people that, bottom line is that when this last song had to be the song that I told them that I don't believe in the same God you do, because your God tells me that I'm going to a place where I'm going to burn in hell, because the creator would not do such a thing. That's not me. I am the creator. So the Devil's Inn means if you hate me, I'm going to show you that fight, because it's okay for me to. But if you love me, I'm going to give you that same love back. So, yeah, the Devil's Inn. Enjoy it.
Definitely. And everybody, please go out and get the album Hog Music by DSB, mentalstatemusic.net. Huge honor. Shout out to the homeboy D-Tag as well.
Yeah.
Man, we'll see you guys real soon. Be looking out for episode 700 coming in June.
Okay, I'm waiting for the punchline.
There's no punchline. It's not a joke.
You're telling us you killed those three young men on the subway?
Mm-hmm.
And why should we believe you?
Nothing can hurt me anymore.
Yeah, I know. It hurt. There's no doubt I'm in charge. Fuck the system, make them listen, take my position. There's no telling where we're going from here. What a hell of a year. The contradiction is the way that you see. Let it be or don't. You won't. I've been here before. Been stabbed so many times by so many minds. Those frivolous lines. Give me them rails. Prevail. The scale's been tipped. Push them over. Let it rip. Get inside of the gut. Don't be giving a fuck. Don't be leaving the luck. Got no reason to buck. So I'm leaving it shut up. There is no adversary worthy to take the battle. Barely they move like cattle. Harry rather leave them home with the ordinary. Bloody Mary, kinda scary. Grin and bear me. I'm evil, give me the needle. It's my choice, fucking people are feeble. Your disease like to cut down the trees, trust the seed. And you look at me like I'm an emo. You go to war, you're trying to kill. But due to religion, I can't fuck that shit. Cause that's not my God. I'm not doing that dance. Make you piss in your pants. I was born like this. I'm representing the saw. Closest thing to the devil you'll ever see. Get me off. Now saw. You're not enough, bitch. That's why I will always cheat. Sweep you off your feet. Drop you to your knees. Praising me. The devil's in. Feel free to sin. Begin. There is no end to life. Alright. And leave with him. Break off the limbs. I'm choosing her. I'll kill for her. I will for her. I'm shrill with her. She ride for me, she die for me. Won't lie to me, decides to be so right to me.